Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody in the live audience, welcome to I Love Movies. That was the theme song by Hard and Firm. Thanks to them for writing and performing it for me. And thanks to the UCB Theater here in Los Angeles, where we do this show every few weeks. So if you want to come out and check it out live, go to UCBtheater.com for more details. Openings, I think in theaters right now, when this podcast airs, is a motion picture called Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj. And as I understand it, Ryan Reynolds, who plays Van Wilder in the original Van Wilder, is not in this movie, which makes me say, I call bullshit. You can't, wasn't that guy Cal Penn, wasn't he Harold or Kumar? Why can't it be Kumar, The Rise of Kumar? Like, make a Kumar movie since you've got him. But why are they calling it Van? That's like if they made a Jaws movie without a shark or a Star Wars movie without Han Solo. Get it? They made three of those and they were really shitty. All right. My guest today. Thank you. My guest today at I Love Movies is a very funny comic who has his own half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central that plays all the time. And you may have seen him as the annoying neighbor on a great episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he also played Wayne Fetterman on an episode of The X-Files. Please welcome Wayne Fetterman, everybody. So, welcome, Wayne. You can pull that out and hold it if you'd like.
All right.
The microphone as well.
Thank you.
And don't look at that. That's for later.
I know. Well, can I tell you a quick thing about Leonard Maltin right now?
Please.
For the first time in my life, I went to the Playboy Mansion for Halloween.
Okay.
Might be the last time. Guess who was there?
Monkeys you can feed grapes to?
Leonard Maltin.
Oh, that too.
Leonard Maltin.
I like the monkeys. Leonard Maltin was at the Playboy Mansion
on Halloween,
working it
on Halloween in an outfit.
I was like, he was dressed up as something.
Well, yeah. Well, you have to be in order to get in.
Oh,
and
really?
So I was expecting Corey Feldman, of course, but then Leonard Maltin was a little surprising, to tell you the truth. But apparently, what happens at the mansion is when it's not crazy woman night, that it's just a bunch of old guys screening old movies there. Like Hef is a big Hef. sorry about that. That's Hugh Hefner is apparently quite the buff and screens and gets prints of movies. And it's like kind of he has this old, I mean, obviously he's
Yeah, he's got to invite people that would appreciate it over, because those dumb girls he lives with, they're not going to like a classic like Adam's Rib.
Yeah, was that from earlier? That was from an earlier show.
Call back to last week.
Yeah, last week's show. This audience must have remembered that from the podcast.
You got to give people cliffhangers and reasons to tune in every week.
Now, is this a podcast? What is happening right now?
It's not being podcast as we speak.
It's not a live podcast.
It's the whole thing is taped and then not
taped or digitally recorded, because there's a difference.
I wouldn't even know. And then it's played on the internet on a site called handheldcomedy.com.
All right, interesting. So my guess is it's not being taped. It's being recorded digitally. That's my guess.
There's no physical tape involved? Is that what you're saying?
When you said the word tape, yeah, that jumped to the conclusion.
I call it filmed sometimes. Sometimes I call it, it's drawn.
All right, let's go. This is ridiculous. I hope this gets edited, matter what.
That's what I was just saying. It's completely unedited. Half hour-ish.
My bad.
No commercials, except for occasional mention of handheldcomedy.com. And it's it just plays, and people listen to it, apparently.
I love it. Let's start.
People say they do.
Let's start.
You want to get going?
Well, yeah.
I still want to know what Leonard Maltin was dressed up as at the mansion.
I think it was like a
mansion.
I'm gonna say like a pumpkin. Like it was something roundish.
Pumpkin man.
And it was good. And then he walked by, and then there was Gary Marshall.
Did you see the little monkeys?
Yeah, I saw.
Did you feed them grapes?
It was basically, I was looking at women. That was basically my goal. It wasn't like, oh, look, there's animals in a cage. I wonder if the ASPCA knows about this. I was not at all interested in any of that. Although I did do the haunted, that very good haunted, what do you call it? House?
House.
No, haunted house.
Like hallways with darkness.
A lot of darkness. And then things. And a lot of times it would be like you think it's a mannequin, but it's a guy, and they jump out at you. And the best one was they had marionettes, but one of the marionettes was a little person, and he runs out at you. So you think it's man, all of a sudden he's running out at you. So it was very scary.
That's horrifying.
I hope I explained that correctly. But it's all dark, and they're like, oh, it's a little marionette. Oh, whoa! So that was part of my...
I'd be suspicious of marionettes in a haunted house.
Of course.
From the word jump.
From the
I'd immediately be like, those aren't marionettes.
No, but it's just one was a little person.
They could
fly at me. The other
were
absolutely, and then they just run at you. Yeah. But even when you're driving up, there's people like pounding on your window. They go for the theme.
Wow, they really go for it.
They do. I'm serious. He went all out for the theme, and to me, a waste, because no one... No, not a complete
no one cares.
Waste.
They're there for the tits.
It's incredible. Incredible, the display.
At the grotto.
Yeah, very humid, as you would expect.
Weird, weird smelling grotto. We'll both be invited back very soon. So, Wayne, we're here to talk about movies.
Yes, do it. I'm a big movie fan. I've been seeing them since I was a kid. By the way, I don't know if you know this. Most people, their first movie they ever saw, in the audience or listening at home on this digital recording, saw a Disney movie. Is that true with you?
The first movie they ever saw?
In a theater. Most Americans, the first over 90%, the first movie they ever saw was a Disney movie.
That's interesting.
What's the movie, first
factoid.
Movie you saw? I know.
I couldn't tell you what the first movie I saw was.
Was it something like...
I mean, it's not a private thing. I'm not trying to keep it from you.
Do you have any idea?
I really don't know. I really don't have, like,
I'm looking at you. I'm going to guess, I don't know, Citizen Kane?
No.
Wouldn't it be great if that was your first movie as a kid?
You know, some 60s bullshit. Right. I remember seeing, like, a promotional item in a lobby for Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
What is that?
But I was seeing something else at the time, and since that's the first one, I obviously didn't see a Disney movie first. But that's a believable statistic, because they're the only people in the G-rated movie business for the most part.
Right. The first movie I ever saw was
Born Free is another one people have seen. Is their first movie.
That's not Disney, though.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That could ruin your whole thing. The other 10% is all Born Free, is my point.
But the Pixar, I guess all those Pixars would count as well.
People in the world that their first movie ever is Cars. That is not a good start.
Well, I remember once somebody said this, and I know this is not specifically about a movie, but that movies are so personal that, in a sense, the worst movie you ever saw is probably someone's favorite film. Like, that is how wide people's opinions of movies are. Like, for some reason, especially movies, I find that movies you see basically between the ages of like 10 and 20, as you're getting more emotional, these movies seem to affect you more. So you notice that people who are older like movies from that era. Just something I just bring it up. It's interesting.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You're the first guest who's really come to the table with some shit.
No.
With some stuff.
Well, I'm not just going to sit and make fun of Martin Scorsese, although I wrote that down as a point that I'd like to get to.
That's going
like
to come up at some point?
Because, he's had an interesting career.
We'll get to him in a second probably, but what have you seen lately? Have you been to the cinema?
I saw Borat.
Right.
Which I know this is going to sound like hyperbole.
Wow. Okay.
I know this is going to sound, but I believe already I would put it in the top 20 comedies in the history of Hollywood.
Wow.
Already.
I really thought the way you started to go into that you were going to say something everyone's going to be mad at you for saying. Like, it sounded like you were going to say, I did not get it, I did not like it.
I said
it.
Hyperbole.
No, I did hear that word, but I don't... I'm talking about...
That sounds like I'm exaggerating.
But as soon as you said... the way you said, I saw Borat, and I just want to say, like that
oh,
part.
Okay.
Before you got...
Well,
as soon as you got to hyperbole, I was like, okay, he's going to really pump this shit up.
Yeah.
But, because I know that's what you do when you hyperbole. But, but I was thinking it was going to go the other way. I'm really pleased to hear that.
Here's my hyperbole. Go.
Changing comedy as we know.
Oh, you might be right.
Motion picture and otherwise.
Well, don't you feel in a way... I hate to say it, but Jackass sort of beat them to the punch.
Mm-hmm,
on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get anything from this crowd to agree with me or nothing. They just stare at me.
It's
like
not their job to loudly agree.
I want them to be applauding, going, or no, or
no,
something.
Just laughter.
You're an idiot.
Just laughter.
Stand there staring at me. No, no.
They're like looking at fish in a bowl.
Why am I yelling?
Yeah. There's no reason to expect anything of them.
Let me just say,
just
I hope during our repartee that we don't get confused and take each other's water. Thank God I know which one is which.
Right, because you leave the label on and I take it off. That's just a move I have to make it my water.
I see. You're marking it.
Yeah, and also...
So you really feel... Let's go back.
If this is a motion picture, I don't want to give free advertisement to blank.
I forgot we're on radio. I call the internet radio.
We're on computer radio.
You're on computer radio, which brings me back to one of my favorite entertainers in the history of Hollywood, which was Edgar Bergen, who was the genius of geniuses because he was a ventriloquist on the radio. That's the best job in the history of the business.
Yeah.
That's better than anything Joe Piscopo ever got. That is insane. Like, oh, yeah, I'm a ventriloquist. Really? Yeah, listen to my show. What? Well, I'm doing Bergen material. Come on, no one is loaded like this.
Yeah, but...
You didn't expect that.
But switching back and forth between the voices quickly is difficult. It's impressive.
Are you a Bergen apologist?
He would go out... I am. He would go out on the road and show people that he could really do it. Like, people saw him in
Charlie
the local
McCarthy
vaudeville house. And... Then he went on to do television and movies, which is also hilarious.
Yes, he did do
some
movies.
It's funny. Whenever somebody plays a ventriloquist in a movie or TV show,
thing.
It's a real ventriloquist. But why? Does it need to be?
It does.
Could just be some asshole going, and they put it in later, you know?
Of course.
It's kind of interesting.
But
they really got him.
Jay Johnson.
They really got him to do it, and they could have got a good actor. Who isn't always just looking at the puppet like your turn.
Right, you could say anything.
That's like a Don Rickles joke. He's always looking at the puppet going, your turn. That has nothing to do with movies.
But just bring it back to movies.
Let's do it.
Bergen was in a number of feature films.
Yes, he was.
With W.C. Fields, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Another comedian.
He showed up in lots of stuff.
I didn't ever open for Fields, but I heard he was good. Heard he was funny.
Yeah, all right. I feel better now. Let's talk about Borat.
Well, you think it changed comedy. Go ahead.
It's changing comedy because it's so much... It was... Not only is it funny, it's also the most suspenseful comedy you'll probably ever see because it's always like, what is going to fucking happen now? Right. Like, when is this guy going to punch him?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And how long can they run around naked in a hotel room... Before somebody goes, hey, you guys are naked in our hotel room or our hotel hallway or whatever, you know? And it's just, and it's also, it's fun to like, I mean, like, clearly, like, I just heard last night that the Pamela Anderson thing was, like, she was onto it the whole time. Like, she was told what was going to happen. But she's pretty good at act, except for just running through the parking lot screaming. I don't think when you're as famous as Pamela Anderson, that's your out.
Right.
When shit starts to go down. I think you turn and look at a couple of guys and go, could you take care of this dude? Like standing still is probably the safest thing to do, you know, to get to stop that situation. But other than that, I just thought it was really just super fun watching this guy, you know, because we're all in on it. Like, it might have been funny also to watch it and not know that.
It works on like a crazy number of levels. And I have to say, the biggest laugh I've heard in a movie theater since, I'm going to say, the hair gel in Something About Mary. Is that the name of that movie? When she comes... Okay, that's what I want. You're saying that was
Wayne
not a big...
needs that kind
that's
of feedback.
That's what I'm
talking about. Oh. He brings up a scene from a movie that you should be long over. That's when that movie came out. It cracked me up that the ads, like, you had to go to the movie to get that she had cum in her hair in the ads. But it was a picture of a woman with cum in her hair. It was the ad for the movie.
That's true.
And nobody batted an eye at it. Nobody was like, that girl's got jizz in her head.
Jizz in her head. That's our poster. That's our poster.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in the teaser. We're going to put it in the trailer.
But that's part of why that was one of the few movies in modern history that like started off kind of slow and then became a blockbuster like on week three or four. Like it like really took off.
You're saying there's no other slow.
Well, unless that's open in that many theaters. You don't open in that many theaters and be okay for a couple weeks and then suddenly become a huge hit.
That
never happens. If you have an example, I'd like to hear it.
No, I don't. All right. Do know the movie that was number one for the longest time, at number one, I believe.
Sound of Music?
I
The Sting?
All right, never mind.
Star Wars?
Never mind. No, it's in the modern era. In the modern
E.T.
era.
The Extraterrestrial?
Maybe I'm wrong.
When I was growing up, a movie would open at the big theater in town and play there for like a whole fucking year. And that doesn't happen anymore, clearly. Now it's like, you know, it's
well, you know what's
DVD
more
soon.
Interesting? And I know no one is going to be
anything you say right now is going to be more interesting than what I just said.
This I just heard, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to say it on the podcast.
See, now you've got the audience really participating.
I want it. That's what you're
also
here for.
They're also not mic'd, so that the audience didn't hear him yell
out.
In the
olden days, before the Supreme Court broke up the theater chains in the late 40s, that whatever theater chain, the Paramount Theater only played Paramount movies.
Right.
So if you didn't have a Fox movie theater in your town, you didn't see Marilyn Monroe movies because it was only Paramount movies that played there.
Interesting.
Do you ever think about that? And in a weird way, that's
I've never thought about it and probably never will again.
No, I'm just thinking about like these movies that we think is classic. Like a lot of people never even saw them because they didn't have a... I guess Universal didn't have theaters, but certainly Fox and Paramount.
Yeah, there were probably a few for a while there. But
you would think it wasn't like theaters would bid on a movie. It was like, this is what's playing, and Paramount would just, the Dream Factory. Yeah. But here's something interesting. Maybe not that interesting. that kind of happens today on HBO and Cinemax and Showtime. Did you know that they have deals with the studios?
Yeah, they make specific deals with specific studios.
Right, so if you have HBO and not Showtime, there's certain movies you will see and certain movies that you'll never see on HBO.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing in the cable universe. Yeah. Let's take some questions.
But Netflix shows them all.
Yeah, and fantastic.
So fuck HBO and Showtime, except for their original series, which are awesome. Weeds, thank you.
Weeds. Okay, Dexter. We're not talking about TV. I don't talk about TV shows.
People are just yelling out names of shows now.
Yeah, that they like.
That's fantastic.
I will say that when you introduced me to somebody who had been on The X-Files playing Wayne Fetterman.
That's right.
But this is interesting. Again, not that interesting.
There was an X-Files movie that you were not in, so we're still hovering around movies.
Right. Never mind.
No, why is that interesting?
No, it was just because...
What happened?
Because on IMDb... On IMDb, they have that listed as me playing myself.
Right, as himself. And it's not you, it's just a guy named Wayne Fetterman.
Bingo.
Who acts completely different.
Yeah, but, he's a producer.
Yeah, you're not a producer, are you kidding me?
Look how we dress.
You got the suit and tie on in the show?
No, but I got the leather, and I'm kind of like gelling my hair and stuff like that. It's just... I was really upset at IMDb which apparently is a sham anyway, that anyone can write any credit they want and they don't double check it.
Right. Well, that's why you should sign up and then just send them, say, no, I didn't play myself. I played Wayne Fetterman.
Hi, this is Wayne.
Spell it with two D's, maybe.
Oh,
Wayne
God.
With two D's.
No, it's
and they'll think it's somebody else.
I gotcha. But I do have a movie coming out. Can I plug something? When does this pod out?
I usually save the plugs for the end.
Never mind.
This is going to start airing on December 4.
Yeah, this week. This week I have, as you know, my film career consists of something called Fetterman and Out, which is I'm in one scene.
Right.
And then you never see me again in the
usually
movie.
Credited as something guy or something
some kind
man.
Of guy, yeah.
I've got a couple of them here.
Yeah?
Yeah. Policeman Dave and Jack Frost.
Fetterman and Out.
Admissions guy in Legally Blonde.
Fetterman and Out.
Officer Dave in Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd.
I have to say, in that one, I do
you have
come
a couple
back.
Scenes?
I do. That's a Fetterman and back
well,
in.
That,
back in.
That,
Fetterman
that,
and back
that explains
in.
The box office fate of that one.
Right.
And my absolute favorite one, Bathroom Guy in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Yeah, Fetterman and Out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's how you do things full throttle, is you have Fetterman in a men's
also,
room.
Also, 40-year-old version.
Call it a day. Yeah, you were the tech guy or...
Smart tech. Yeah, smart tech customer.
Smart tech customer.
Fetterman and Out and 51st Dates. Say it with me.
What was the character?
Roll up in a wheelchair at the end. Something
that's
about...
That's the name of the character? Oh, Patient. It's Patient. You're called Patient in that one.
I don't know. I never have a name.
You're called Patient.
What do I say in that movie? You remember it. I say something about you're Pablo Picasso. No, you're not. Not really. And then roll away. Literally roll out of
well, that's
scene.
Like they're like, well, let's get it. How can we get him out quicker? Let's put him in a wheelchair.
Zoom.
Scene's not even in a hospital.
Zoom. So anyway, I haven't. Go
but
ahead.
Your scene in 40-year-old Virgin. Did you get to improvise? Because I think that movie was very improvised, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I improvised quite a bit with Paul Rudd,
mm-hmm.
who was and. It was basically reacting. It was more his thing, so it was a lot of, and we did a lot, and none of it made it. But it's all right.
Not even on the DVD extras?
No, but I have to say, it's all right.
A lot of extra improvisation on there.
I'm not one of the, I mean, I know it happened with Sarah. I was listening to last week's show.
With Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, and...
look for her new Comedy Central show on April 1st.
Yeah, and she improvised the whole thing, and all of it got in, so that didn't happen with me. I just didn't compare. No, don't feel bad. I'm more about serving the vision of the director and the writer.
Yeah.
Much more than that.
Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of what
it was. A 2-hour comedy. Like they couldn't afford to have it be any longer.
It was. And I think that's too long for a comedy.
Yeah, it was too long.
Am I right?
That's my only criticism, Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
If you're listening. He's not listening. And what's this latest one? What's the one that's it's coming out on Friday?
On the 8th of December.
That would be Friday.
It's called Unaccompanied Minors.
Sink. Oh,
speaking of Judd Apatow, the guy who co-created...
Freaks and Geeks.
Paul Feig.
Yes.
Directed this movie.
And you're in it.
And out.
One scene.
One scene.
Can you tell us what happens in the scene, or does it give away too much? Do you come in and go, Rosebud is a sled, or something like that?
No, I kind of knew that I was going to make it in this movie, just, you know, because sometimes I've been cut out of movies.
Right.
One called the Flying Movie with, I'll think of it, View from the Top, View from Above, or...
View from the Top with Gwyneth Paltrow and Mike Myers?
Yeah.
Awesome movie.
So...
made all the more better by your absence.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I still get residual checks from that movie, even though I'm not in it. Is that right?
Isn't that weird?
Is that a mistake?
No.
Should I call?
I'm in the movie Secret Admirer, but I'm uncredited, and I got a check in the mail today.
But you're in it.
But I am in it.
Yeah, I'm not in this.
Yeah, so we should have like a body switch thing. I don't know. You did the work. You know, so
it seemed like that would be a crazy rule from the Screen Actors Guild.
But it's a little, that's like an extra thing they have to follow, like figuring out who got cut out of what, you know? I
mean, so they don't even bother.
There must be, like, every movie that has 50 speaking roles, there must be somebody that got cut out.
Right.
And, you know, SAG is all about you know, defending you and your work or whatever. So you,
by the way, interesting note,
not being in it.
Interesting note, the reason we have residuals for movies that play on television, Ronald Reagan, when he was president of the Screen Actors Guild.
He made it happen?
He made it happen in a strike in 1959.
Wow.
That's the reason. I know you guys all hate him here in Hollywood land. Ronald Wilson, by the way, starred in over 55 movies himself.
Right, one with a monkey.
Yeah, that's the one you remember.
Mm-hmm.
What about New Rockney All-American? What about that one?
Win one for the game.
What happened there?
Oh my God,
there's a Democrat in the booth. Doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to hear it.
There's
they have
a
the
booth?
House and they have the
we
house.
Have
they have the...
So, I know you haven't heard the show before, but it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Isn't it
crazy how fast this goes by?
Because I can pontificate.
You really can.
I can pontificate about nothing for hours.
I knew you'd be a great guest. Like, I should have had you and Sarah on at the same time.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Because you could have given us interesting facts while she goes, She doesn't sound like that. But we did play, Sarah and I did have a chance to play the Leonard Maltin game. And would you like to ask or be asked in the Leonard Maltin game? Because it's
First of all, you know I'm terrible at this kind of thing, but I'm going
to
ask.
Okay, so pick out a movie. It has to be something you think I've seen.
Oh, it has to be.
I mean, Sarah last week thought I saw Slaves in New York, and she was wrong. Because I don't see movies based
on
books by
right
that
now.
Lady that wrote that book.
I got one right now.
This
one you're going to get.
Great. Well, that's really suspenseful and fun for the listeners.
Okay.
Give me a softball.
It's a softball.
All right. What year did it come out?
Came out in the year 1998.
Okay, 98.
Midterm elections then. We had midterm elections back then. Okay.
Keep in mind, I had already started smoking pot at this point, so
okay.
I might
Here's
not
an interesting
it.
Fact. Shot on Super 35.
I hope that gives
that narrow
away.
It down. Does that narrow it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Here we go. From I know.
Go from the
yes,
bottom.
I got it. Please, Jesus, embarrassing. Ellen Barkin. Wow.
Keep going. That should give it away right there.
Yeah.
She had a small part in it, and it was shot on some weird format. That's cheap. Keep going. That should give it away. Really? I should know it.
Harry Dean Stanton. You're going to know every name on this list, and that's a hint. That Ooh. Sentence.
Oh, it's such a powerful cast. Powerhouse cast. Okay, keep going.
Michael Jeter.
Okay, died recently. It's kind of a sad thing to bring up, but keep going.
That's it? You're not going to rifle through those movies? All right.
That Michael Jeter did?
Never mind. Christina Ricci.
Movies.
Christina Ricci.
Wow. Don't yell out.
But whisper to each other.
Yeah, whisper
everyone
all
should,
you want.
You will admit these are pretty big names for the bottom of the list, right?
Right. I heard somebody say Casper. It's not Casper.
Absolutely wrong.
Yeah, she was the lead in Casper. So be quiet.
Gary Busey.
Oh. Okay. Gary Busey.
Can I skip one name that's a total giveaway?
What? There's a giveaway in the middle?
Yeah, there's a giveaway.
Yeah, skip it.
Okay.
I don't like your tactics, but skip it.
Okay. Lyle Lovett.
Oh, it's... what do you mean, come on? He was in Shortcuts, and he was also in... the fuck was Lyle Lovett in?
You do drugs.
Drugs is a clue? Keep going.
Kind of.
Keep going.
That kid over there knows what he's talking about. Cameron Diaz. We're not even near the elites yet.
Wow. Settle down. The audience is going crazy, or one audience.
It is.
Now I understand what some people must be going through listening to us play this game. This must be the most annoying podcast. They know it at home. And they can't. They're just yelling at their computer.
I have to give myself a lot of credit for picking this, because I didn't think you were going to unravel like this. You ready?
It's an amazing cast, whatever it is.
This was even better. You ready?
Okay.
Penn Jillette. In it. Am I right?
Well, wait.
Yes.
Is Teller in it?
No.
No Teller.
Okay.
Shh.
All right. Keep going.
This one's my favorite. One of my favorite comedians. Both comedians. Tim Thomerson. Used to do the famous Stagecoach routine.
Right.
On the first Young Comedian special ever. A lot of facts.
That's a good one.
Okay, this one's even greater. Mark Harmon from summer school.
Whatever the hell he's in, yeah.
Was it summer school?
Summer school and Yeah. NCIS or JAG or
we're getting near the leads.
Okay.
Catherine Helmand.
Okay, okay. From Soap. There's a Soap theme running through.
Okay, baby. Craig Bierko.
Did you just call me baby?
Come on, dude.
Craig Bierko is in it?
Who you know?
1998?
1998. I'm not lying. I would not lie. That's not the way I play. That's okay. Not the way I play.
And it was shot on Super something.
Right.
Okay.
Tobey Maguire.
Why is this so obvious to everyone but me? Of course I'm going to shoot myself.
Should I
afterwards.
Just stop? I mean, should I?
No, keep going. Wait. Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire. He was Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was. He was also Spider-Man too.
The Spider-Mans are wonderful. They come over. They bring food. They're nice. They're a nice couple down the street, the Spider-Mans.
All right. Keep going.
This is weird, because I was listening last week. A guy from last week's show is also in it, Benicio Del Toro.
Holy shit.
I can't really give the two.
And then there's two names that give
there's
it away.
There's two names that
absolutely give it away.
Not the name I skipped. I'll tell you
Holy
the name I
shit.
Skipped. I'll tell you the name I skipped.
I just had a great idea, Wayne.
Tell you the name.
I guess people could just IMDb it. But I was going to say it'd be fun to end this episode without saying what the title is.
We'll tell the audience later.
We'll talk about it with the audience, yeah. But let's just end it right now.
Okay, I'm going to give you one final hint. Not the two leads in it, but the name I skipped.
Okay.
Flea. I thought that was the giveaway, but apparently, I guess Tobey Maguire wasn't going to give it away. Flea wasn't, certainly.
He's
I don't
been
know.
In a few things, Flea. You know, it's not...
Well, then,
he was in.
Then.
He was in Big Lebowski.
Very good guess, but wrong.
Oh, that's a good guess? Why is that a good guess? Holy shit. Well, I don't know what that he's yelling crazy. About.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so Wayne Here, Fetterman, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Fetterman.
That's
with
it.
With not
Fetterman
only a stumper.
Out. Fetterman and out.
An easy stumper. Yeah, roll out of here. Let me find my last things that I'm supposed to say. They're in here somewhere.
So Unaccompanied Minors.
I always get them all mixed up. Unaccompanied Minors, go
and
see
then,
that. Opens Friday.
And Knocked Up next August.
A movie called Knocked Up is coming out next
yes.
August. It's not coming out 9 months from now.
Hey!
Perfectly. Where's my last page? There it is. Folks, that's Wayne Fetterman. And if you haven't already, go to handheldcomedy.com and sign up for the Laugh Bank. It's like a frequent flyer program, but you don't go anywhere. And until next time, when we reveal the answer to that amazing Leonard Maltin question... This is Doug Benson saying, I'm not saying this candy is stale, but they should have called it Senior Mints. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Yeah. Isaac right. Gold is viewing so prowess cute. Makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.